Hey, church family, it's Luke, and welcome back to The Breakdown. And today, joining us from the baptismal pool is Pastor Will.
How's it going, family?
Yeah, so you were in there.
Yeah.
You were up front. I mean, it's a wild Sunday.
Oh, yes.
Baptism Sundays here are wild.
Yeah, yeah. So at this point, my fingers and my toes are no longer wrinkly. So, I have recovered. Thank you, everybody, for sending all of the prayers, making sure that I wasn't cold and wrinkly anymore. people had some comments. It was pretty funny.
No, that's awesome. No, Sunday was really cool.
It was amazing. It was amazing.
I don't know how many people total. I mean, not that numbers really matter, but it was cool. It was a lot of people.
You know, let me just hop on that for a second.
Hop on it.
Numbers matter to God. And it's not, there's nothing wrong in saying that, because there's a certain level of influence and being effective that Jesus would comment on.
Yeah.
So it's not bad to say this is how many people got saved or baptized.
Oh, absolutely not.
Or responded. But the problem is when that becomes your mark of success,
right,
or your mark of a move of God. Mm-hmm. And that is and that's where the issue lies. So we don't know exactly how many, because they just kept coming. And Pastor Kurt said it's somewhere between 60 and 80.
Wow. Oh, man, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was really cool. The initial amount of people that were signed up were about 30. And Pastor Zach hopped back on the stage and did his thing. And then at least 30 more came.
Okay. So this was the first Sunday that I had heard him phrase it this way. He says that here we practice something called open baptism.
Yeah.
Could you just repeat that, like what that means for us?
Yeah. So if anybody is in attendance that feels impressed by the Lord to be baptized in that moment, then they are welcomed, and there's a place for them to come and be baptized. Now, there are several reasons for that. And Pastor Zach very much wants that to always be an opportunity for people, because when you look at John the Baptist doing baptism, performing baptisms, and even the disciples of Jesus, there wasn't a, you know, planning center sign up. There wasn't a, let's talk about this 3 weeks from now, we'll do it and plan it and make sure your family's there and all that. It was a spontaneous, yes, I do recognize that the Lord has done something within me, and right now I'm going to go get baptized. And that's something that we want to make sure is a part of when we plan to do baptism, because we don't have a permanent tank in the sanctuary. So we do plan it when it comes to that. And because we're planning it, then we say to people, all right, of all of the people that you've been discipling and have been discipled by people that have been talking about wanting to get baptized, here is the day that we're planning to do it.
Right.
So there's nothing wrong with that either. But hey, here's the tank, and here are some people that are in attendance that probably weren't there the week before or the month before in order to plan, but is the Lord impressing it on you in this moment to get baptized?
Mm. No, that's really cool. And there always are here. There's several people every time that they're getting baptized again.
Yeah.
Could you shed some light on that and that might be appropriate?
So the way that we like to see it is, that we like to communicate it, is if they're, because what baptism represents, and I'm glad we're talking about this, because there are some schools of thought that that baptism is a part of the requirements in order to guarantee salvation. That is not the case. That's not the case biblically. That's not what Jesus said, because Jesus was baptized. Mm-hmm. And so there are some even though that's what some people believe, what we believe is that baptism is the outward demonstration of an inner work. Now, people can be baptized at the age of, you know, 14, 16, 18, even, you know, whatever age,
And there were some young children.
Yeah. And then decide over the course of their lives that things have happened and they've made some decisions. And then a change happens. When I say make some decisions that mark their lives in a negative way. And coming back around to a not just a spiritual experience, but a transformation.
Yeah.
And now are saying, my life is absolutely different now, and I want to get baptized again to show that difference. That is absolutely okay, mm-hmm. because there isn't. Now, what we're not saying is, all right, that means that every time you mess up, you need to come back and get baptized again and again and again. It's a marker, you know, mm-hmm. it's a marker in someone's life, and it's to signify this season is different.
Right.
And when that happens, why would we turn somebody away? They may have been baptized 3 years ago, mm-hmm. and things could have gone drastically different because of different things relationally or whatever somebody may have been going through in between. And now I will say that if somebody does get baptized, you know, a second time, and then a year later, they're like, I want to get baptized again. Right. All right, let's have a conversation and talk about why, because they might be missing the point of that, as well as there are other ways to communicate that the Lord is doing a continual work in your life. And so there are other outlets for that, you know, discipling someone, giving a testimony, evangelizing. There are different things that happen in our lives that we can communicate transformation.
Right.
And it doesn't need to be baptism every single
mm-hmm.
time.
Mm-hmm.
But we do not tell people, no, you cannot get baptized.
Right.
Because you've already been baptized mm-hmm. once in your life and you were, you know, 5 years old when mm-hmm. that happened or what have you.
Yeah. And I think that because I've talked to some youth before, and last time there were several youth that got baptized again. And my heart and what I believe God's heart is you don't have to do this again.
Right.
But you can.
Yeah.
And for people who are watching, and if you're feeling either confused about it, or I mean, I hope you're not feeling judgmental about it. If you are, you know, work that out with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
What I would encourage you to see is this, what they're doing is they're making a step towards Jesus.
Yes.
So if that's how you have to file it away like that, because that's a helpful, healthy way, I think, that we can get behind that is they're Absolutely. Making a step towards Jesus.
Absolutely.
Now, someone who feels like, oh, I have to do this again. I think it's a case by case thing. It's like, well, let's find out like what's the reason behind it. Because we don't have to do any of these works to like earn our place with God.
Yeah.
But last time I'd also talked with Becky and Tyler DeMello after the service.
Yes.
And one thing that came up in our conversation about rebaptism is how it's kind of like the analogy of when a married couple wants to renew their vows,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
it's not that they've gotten divorced or separated,
right.
but maybe after a period of time and they're like, I just, you know, like now we understand what this marriage yes. is.
Yeah.
And it's not that the first vows were bad or broken, but it's a, I want to say it again, but with the maturity and the growth and the knowledge that I now have, having been married to you for 10 years, 15 years, 50 years, whatever it is.
Yeah, absolutely. And just what you're saying, it has possibly deeper meaning to them in the moment. Now, can I peel back the curtain a little bit?
The curtain.
You guys know that I love doing this. So what people probably don't know is we use Planning Center for signups, and part of that helps us as far as on the pastoral team check in with people, because we look at the list and say, hey, I know that person and I know their story. I don't know that person, but I want to hear their story. And so there are certain times when we make a phone call and check in and, hey, tell me, what is it that the Lord has done in your life that is making you decide to get baptized? And those are some of the most fun
conversations. It seems like it'd be pretty cool.
Oh, those conversations, those phone calls are amazing. Hearing the transformation, hearing, you know, the testimonies, all of that, hearing just the heartfelt, sincere decisions that people are making. I love that. And on the back end, when people get spontaneously baptized, we do follow up with as many as we can.
Oh, that's
on
fantastic.
The back end also.
That is awesome.
It's like, wow, you
really good.
The Lord absolutely was moving and it was visible. It was all over your face. Tell me, you know, from the beginning,
you walked into the church, tell me
everything that was going on. And it's really awesome to hear that. So it's cool on both fronts to really get the data in order to, and you know that this is my thing, in order to walk with people through where the Lord has them in the moment.
Right. And that's super encouraging. Like I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It doesn't surprise me to hear that, but it's very encouraging to hear that because I think, you know, just on the surface, someone could show up and you see, you know, Pastor Zach or a leadership saying, get in the pool, you know, get baptized. And it can, I think someone could easily write it off as, oh, they don't look at baptism seriously.
Right.
Which we obviously do.
Yeah.
And hearing this, it totally reinforces that. Yeah. And that is the goal, is that because we take responsibility for what happens on Sunday morning.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And one of my biggest things is allowing these momentous occasions, these milestone moments to propel people into daily spiritual disciplines. Okay, yeah, you had a very powerful Sunday. What is the Lord doing in you now that will move into the everyday?
Right.
Not so that there's this mountaintop experience and now here's a valley and then here's another mountaintop. That's not how we live. That's not how we journey with the Lord. Okay, here is this amazing experience you had. What did the Lord show you? What does he want you to do with it? And how are you going to live that out over the next, you know, several days, weeks, months, because he's constantly speaking and showing in order to bring us closer.
Right.
And so that's why it's such a huge thing for me to, all right, let's talk about that and let's bring that into some practical application.
No, that's awesome. And I had, you know, going back to the whole rebaptism thing and when I was talking with some of the kids, I was saying something that had come up in the conversation was, I said, you know, you're going to have these moments in your walk with the Lord where you almost feel like you got saved again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And it's not that you have to get baptized every single time. Right.
No.
But there are those moments. And I think that as we're growing in the Lord, we should be seeing those moments because you're constantly being, and we'll get more into this, like we're constantly being transformed.
Yes.
Our mind is constantly being renewed. And with each new revelation, with each new way of understanding what it is that Jesus has done for us, you have that moment of, wow, like I thought I understood it. Now I really understood it.
Yeah.
And you just keep going. And if you have a moment like that and it stirs you to get baptized again, talk to one of the pastors. That's obviously, this is what we're here for.
Yeah.
And for you, Sunday was really special because your daughter, she was also one of the in the second group.
Yes, she was. So at the beginning of service, she heard that it was Baptism Sunday. And she said to us, she said, Mommy, Daddy, next time we do baptisms, can I get baptized? And we said, absolutely, sweetie, absolutely you can. And so then we're worshiping a bit. And then I go off to get changed and then end up in the tank and I'm baptizing people. And then Pastor Zach ends up on the stage giving, you know, a call to the second wave.
Yep.
And so I turn around and there's my little Eloise. And she said, Daddy, can I get baptized today?
Oh.
And I said, you want to get baptized today? Why today? And she said, today is a good day to get baptized. I said, oh, of course, sweetie. And she went with mom and talked about it a bit and was able to fully communicate. And so then here she is in the line. Now, from a dad, okay, I know that my daughter is in this line somewhere, but I can't see her in between all of the tall people. So I'm baptizing people. And listen, let me just take a quick break here to say, Pastor Zach gave so many amazing words to people and so many beautiful things that he said. He had something beautiful to say to literally everybody. And I love having a front row seat to that. it is phenomenal. And so as he's doing that, and as we're baptizing people, I then see that she's coming up. I'm like, oh my goodness, here's my little girl. And then she gets in. And now I am just so moved that my precious baby girl is getting baptized, and we're talking about it. And she loves the Lord. And she has some of the sweetest prayers. And I am so excited to have a front row seat to her beautiful relationship with the Lord. And so I baptize her, bring her up, and just the smile on her face. I had to hug her. I'm like,
absolutely.
Oh, so proud of you. Aww. Yeah, it was beautiful. And that's one of the things that I love, absolutely love about our church, that we don't turn away little kids that are even in the moment, yeah, I want to get baptized. What we actually did was what we would do for anybody's kid, you know, talk to the parent, let them have some time instead of, all right, climb right into the tank, go through the process. Right. All right, go on out there, talk a bit, discuss, are you able to fully dictate what's going on, get prepped, and then, you know, and then end up in the line. And it was just so amazing, so beautiful. And she wasn't the only one. No. She wasn't the only one. Pastor Mike O'Brien's daughter, Abby. Oh, when I saw her step up, I'm like, this girl is just so precious. So that was really special.
No, it was really, really, awesome. Really special Sunday. Thank you for taking us through that perspective of it.
Yeah.
And shedding more light on the, you know, just the responsibility that leadership here plays and how they take everything very seriously. Because I know I've been reassured by this conversation as well. Yeah. Even though it's things I knew are true and I've seen conversations happen, it's good to know that we do steward every moment that happens in the room, even those that we're not planning for.
Right. Right. For sure.
And I think that that's good wisdom from the Lord to do that.
And we love being able to partner with families, partner with, you know, parents and individuals that are in the moment. Okay, help me communicate. Help me even unpack what God is doing right now. It happens every week at the altar. It happens all the time, all throughout the building, all throughout the week.
Yeah.
So we're not going to limit that on Baptism Sunday
either.
If
the walls could talk,
seriously,
we'd hear a lot of good things. All right. So now coming into the message.
Yeah.
Pastor Zach preached a message on out of Romans 12 verses 1 and 2.
Yes.
Transformed.
Yes.
He wasn't planning on preaching it, and I think it was probably one of his best messages.
Yeah. Yeah. So he definitely wasn't planning on preaching that. Was he planning on preaching out of Ezekiel? Did he say Ezekiel?
Yeah.
Okay. So that one's definitely going to come out at some point, I'm sure. But I witnessed the encounter happen when he saw the word on this one young lady's shirt, and the words that he had for her were beautiful. But I didn't realize that he hadn't planned on preaching on it when he said, you know, Romans. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And then he said that. And as he's unpacking it, oh, such a good word. Mm. Such a good word. We were even talking about it a bit more in staff yesterday, and Pastor John and I were talking about it a bit more today as well. And it's so true. And that's one of the things that we've seen the Lord reveal to us, his desire for us to work in partnership with him in what he's doing in our lives. Instead of it just being, because people can pray prayers where it's, Lord, change me, right. Lord, fix me, Lord, you know, heal me, which he's going to do, but he's going to also say, here is how you need to participate in it. Here's what you need to do. And so in Romans, here is this unpacking that Paul is giving on what's being done internally and what's being done externally in order to show that full transformation process.
Mm-hmm. No, and I think what's important is that Pastor Kurt had said this verse, I think the week before, where he said, you know, the Lord has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind.
Yeah.
Right. And in that message, he had said that, you know, sound mind also means like, you know, discipline.
Yes.
So there is it's important that we understand that the in our salvation, we are equipped with the mind of Christ. Like Paul talks about that. You have the mind of Christ. And as we walk in the Spirit, as we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, we start to think the way he wants us to think. We start to adopt that. But then it's like, I now have to allow these thoughts that I know are from the Holy Spirit to influence how I live. And then I physically choose, okay, am I going to bring my body? Am I going to bring my life in line with what I know to be true now that I have the Holy Spirit inside of me?
And that's the, and that's the challenge, isn't it? You know, there's a, so it's very well known. I'm trying to remember if the Church of Rome was dealing with this also, but it's very well known that the church in Corinth and different believers in the first century, New Testament Christians, were dealing with the just how everything is so spiritual, where it's, oh, it the physical doesn't matter. The spiritual is the only thing that matters. But Paul absolutely battled that a lot in the Corinthian letters, here in Romans. And there needs to be a partnership where it's not just the spiritual. And Pastor Zach did touch on this a little bit, where here we are, we're Pentecostals, and we very much love the leading of the Spirit and want to, you know, put everything on that. But to go along with that, there needs to be the obedience in the flesh.
Yeah.
And Pastor Zach, even, I don't remember how many months ago he was talking about that, where he said, where he talked about behave in the flesh, where there are things that we have to do with our mind, and we'll talk about the soul, you know, with our mind, our will, our emotions, that that our body, soul, and spirit come into unity, come into oneness in agreement with what the Lord is leading in. So as we look at Romans 12:1, he's saying that the whole thing is how we present ourselves. This is how, this is what the Lord expects. This is what he considers acceptable. And this is what he considers worship. And so with that, we have to allow the renewing to take place. And as we allow the renewing to take place, that's when we will see things be different in the physical, in our everyday lives.
Yeah. It's so true. And I think what's difficult is, you know, it's not, it's very easy to form a habit. Like I think you have to do, if you do something three times, I think you're already, you know, predisposed to do it again.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's a lot harder to break habits, as everyone can attest, because every person, Christian, non-Christian, you've tried to break a habit because we know what's healthy, what's not healthy.
Absolutely.
And so when we receive this knowledge, whether it's by, you know, like from the Holy Spirit prompting us, but even just like reading the Word of God and like, we feel that conviction.
Yeah.
We know what it is that we need to do. Taking that first step is really hard.
Yeah.
And it feels like you're going against the grain. And I think there's a temptation for us to sometimes believe, well, if this is really how it's supposed to be, it should feel easy. But it feels hard. So it, does that mean I should be, you know, like we kind of, I think sometimes people can label that as, well, it's hard, so I can't do it. And maybe there's something wrong with me.
Yeah. And I've heard it said both ways, and neither way is 100% the way. If it's hard, then I have to do it. That's the Lord leading me and I have to do the hard thing. If it's hard, then I have to avoid it. That's God trying to show me that that's not the way to go. What it really comes down to is, what is the Lord leading you into, whether it's hard or not, and obedience to the leading of the Lord.
Amen.
Now, when it comes to breaking habits, most of the time, are hard. There are times when the Holy Spirit makes it easy, happens, you know, instantaneously, no longer a problem. Yeah, those things happen also. But breaking habits are definitely hard. And you know what else is also hard? Forming new habits. Forming new habits are also difficult, but That's where the renewing of the mind comes in, because as you set your mind to it and you're now partnering with, here is who I am in the Lord, here is how I'm going to live that out, then it is easier, okay? Mm-hmm. Relative term, easier. Not saying it's easy, but it is easier to follow through with it, yeah, because now you're making a willful decision to do it.
Right.
Doesn't make it not hard though.
Right.
And,
oh, yeah.
And sometimes we believers can shy away from the hard thing just because it's hard. And, oh, yeah, God obviously doesn't want me to do that because it's hard. Where does it say that? Where has he told us that? Right. That's not the case. There are plenty of people in Scripture that did incredibly hard things. And we see in Scripture that the Lord led them there first.
Yeah. As you're talking, I'm just thinking of physics. And it says an object at rest tends to stay at rest. It stays at rest.
Yes.
And then an object in motion will stay in motion.
Unless acted upon.
Right.
By another
outside force, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So a lot of times with doing the will of God, we have it. We have Scripture. Like, let's not act like we have to, you know, receive this big download. We've already gotten the download. It's the Bible. All right. Yeah. So you know what it is to do. That initial step is sometimes hard, getting that momentum going. But but just like once you get an object moving, it's easier to keep it going.
Yeah. Yes.
It's the same thing with the Lord. Like, you that initial, you know, getting that momentum going is difficult. But then once it builds, it will continue and continue and continue.
Yeah.
We don't do this alone. We talk about this every time.
Yes.
But it's important that you understand you are not doing this alone.
Right. Right. And that's the other part of it, because there are plenty of people that have done the hard thing that can testify to the necessity of it. Where, yes, it's going to be hard, but I promise you it's going to be worth it.
Yeah.
And as you're living life with others in community, they're there to encourage you. And that is its own motivation. Like, oh, wow, you've been through this too?
Right.
Okay, that's amazing, because I see your life and I love having you there as one of my biggest cheerleaders. Mm-hmm. So, you know, keep speaking into my life. That's where vulnerability in community comes into play here, because now I'm not just doing this all on my own, thinking that I don't know if I'm getting this right or wrong. Now I'm doing this where somebody, a trusted individual, is telling me, hey, great job. Or, hey, watch out here. Look at where you're headed. You might be one or two clicks off. Just readjust and keep at it.
Right.
So it's not as difficult when we're doing it in community with trusted individuals.
Yeah. And as you're talking, what's coming to me is it's not striving, it's becoming.
Yes.
Absolutely. We are not striving. We're not forcing this. It's actually you're becoming who God has called you to be, who he's created you to be.
Exactly. Exactly. It goes right back to being versus doing. Mm. Here we are learning. Okay. And it takes that revelation from the Lord in order to see from his perspective, in his eyes, who he's created me to be, for me to see myself as he sees me. Now, yes, I recognize that it's different in these particular ways. So now I have these application points that I can now say, this is what he wants me to do. He wants me to wake up early. He wants me to be more consistent in the way that I live. He wants me to be more open with people as I'm sharing and trust more. All of these things, because he wants me to shine his light. He wants others to shine their light into my life. As we're seeing where he wants us to have that renewal happen, that is those places where we're going to, and it says right there, prove what the will of God is.
Yeah, you're so in sync with where we're at right now. Because in my head, I was just thinking, when Pastor Jackson, like make manifest the will of God.
Yes, yeah.
You know, we pray, Lord, let your will be done.
Mm-hmm.
God, what is your will for me?
Yeah,
and. Really, like, yes, there are times where we need like a special revelation. We need a, you know, Lord, like, show me, like, what do I do in this situation?
Yeah.
But he's laid out, I think, like 99% of it in his word. It's and true. It's like, it is so now true. Up to you to make manifest
yes.
and live yes. the way he has called you to yeah. live. And you're not doing it from a place of, I have to force this to happen. It's like, no, he has given you a new nature.
Yeah.
And you're going to find that doing his will, it comes more naturally than you think.
It's true.
Now that you are, you're a new creation.
Yes. Yeah. And I know that we've talked about this numerous times where here are the ways that we have just come to live. And here is this new nature that we are now being faced with. And now we have to make the decision of, okay, do I keep living the way that I was living before, or do I make the change? And it's right here in his word laid out for us. And he gives us clear direction on this then is how you should live. But here we are with, you know, yeah, but this is the way that I've been living. What's right. wrong with that?
Right.
Why do I have to change who I am? And part of what people tend to have a problem with in that regard is, doesn't the Lord accept me exactly as I am? Yeah. Well, yes, he does accept you in that way, but he wants you to shine his light through mm-hmm. your life.
Yeah.
So if there are things that are in the way,
right.
don't you love him more than those things right. enough to let go of those old habits in order to show what the perfect yeah. will of God
is? There's more for you, and it's not about you.
Yeah.
It's yeah. It's about God moving through you and using you. And that's why I think, you know, like Baptism Sunday,
yes.
we should all be excited. We should all, you know, go back to the time when we were saved, mm-hmm. maybe when you were baptized and you know, recommit yourself to the Lord and yeah. say, Lord, thank you for where you've brought me from. Thank you for where you're taking me.
Yeah.
And Lord, I want to see people getting baptized because of how you moved in my life.
Mm.
So Lord, help me to live a life that causes people to ask, like, why do I live this way? Yeah. Why are you living that way? Exactly. Why do you go to church every week?
Yeah.
Why do you not do this? Why do you do that?
Yeah.
You know, this is what happens when we make manifest the will of God in our life,
yeah.
it bears fruit because it doesn't just end with us.
Absolutely. Yeah. And bringing it back to that feeling like you just got saved again, there are seasons of refreshing. There are times where the Lord brings
Amen
things
for that
to brings things to a place where it's so new again and vibrant again. And we shouldn't chase after that, but we shouldn't ignore it or try to downplay it when it happens.
No.
Enjoy all of it, wherever he has you, wherever he's bringing you. If you find yourself in that place currently, awesome, amazing. What is he showing you? If you find yourself coming out of that, what has he shown you? And what about his faithfulness is he trying to teach you right now? It's not like we're chasing feelings. It's not like we're, you know, avoiding feelings. And that was another thing. The Gnostics and, you know, and the super feely spiritual people and all that. The Lord is trying to show us how to find balance in him because he is all knowing. He is the Holy Spirit, the promised Holy Spirit that he has promised to us for every yeah. day. He's all of it. So how can we embrace all of him with all of that each day? So it's not, no, let me avoid that in order to chase this. That's not what he wants for us. He wants us to, with our mental faculties and our body and our spirit, come into oneness with him in order to be like him.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining us and shedding light on an amazing Sunday.
Yeah.
Would you just close us out in prayer, please?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for this amazing Sunday, this amazing time that you have us in. We are just so overjoyed as well as full of anticipation, eager expectation of you showing up each and every day over and over again, doing amazing things, Lord, because you are our wonderful Father. So thank you, Lord, for all of the people that you moved on their hearts for them to be baptized, for all of the people that worshiped for over an hour and celebrated all that you are doing in and through many. God, we are so grateful. Thank you for placing us here, Lord, for this amazing church family that we have, Lord. And as we continue to be church family together, Lord, move on hearts to encourage each other into truth, into openness with you, into following you closely, Lord, into discipleship, Lord, into telling others about you that don't know about you, so that we don't keep this thing within these walls, Lord, but bring the truth of your gospel out to the lost, out to the hopeless, out to the hurting. Lord, we know that you didn't shine these lights in our hearts so that we can keep them hidden. Help us to shine them brightly for the sake of your glory and your renown. We love you and praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, may the Spirit of the Lord continue to guide you. May you make manifest the will of God, and we will see you again on Sunday.
Love you, family. Can't count on